Bible, please, as we continue our series on the Holy Spirit. We are going to talk tonight about His sanctifying ministry. The Holy Spirit of God is that wonderful, wonderful companion that is with you always. When you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the sweet Holy Spirit is with us. Take your Bible, go to the book of Galatians 3 and verse 3. Now, the theme verse for this series is Isaiah 40, where we'll mount up on wings and we'll run and not be faint. And that's a verse that everyone loves and maybe even have on a plaque in your house. And I believe as we study the Holy Spirit and learn to walk in the Spirit and surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit, He'll do just that. He will allow us to live beyond our capacity, beyond our fleshly nature. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians and he said, "Look, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" We get saved by the Holy Spirit of God. He saves us, He seals us, He sanctifies us. But the truth is, from there on, we just kind of leave Him alone and we forget about Him and we try to live this Christian life in and of our own strength, and that's where we fail. Recently, I took a trip to Arlington National Cemetery, and I got to tell you, it was a beautiful day. But it's just, I don't know about you, but I get this sense of awe. It's just a sacred place, a place that is kind of serene. I found out there's over 400,000 graves, and people from 11 countries are buried there. And you know, when I think about how each one of those headstones depicts the price that was paid for my freedom, you know, sometimes I get overwhelmed by it. People visit from all over the world. Like I said, it is beautiful. It's meticulously kept. It's manicured. It's distinctly serene and peaceful. And it's just the opposite of the battlefields that those people have walked on and flown over and fought and died on. You know, there's 24 cemeteries on foreign soil around the world. And each one of them is a hallowed place containing thousands and thousands of fallen soldiers. Each one of those places is set apart, is special, and it represents a sacrifice that was made. Take your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians 4. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit of God is the new birth. I get that. He saves us. We saw that last week. Actually, go to 2 Thessalonians 2, and I'll come back to 1 Thessalonians in a minute. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Look what it says there. "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." When we're born again, God has set us apart for Himself. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Now, it's interesting. It's talking about two different types of sanctification. There is the sanctification that is positional, that when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are now set apart from God. We are set apart unto God, set apart from the world as His, set apart as something special. When we think of the word saved, a lot of times we think of pulling a brand from the fire, pulling a child from a pool that's drowning. But the other thing that I want you to put in your mind is the idea of God looking like a child. A child walks up to a plate of cookies or a plate of brownies they're really cool. I've seen recently they have these cupcake trees. You ever seen those, Brother Mike? And they have those big Tupperware tops that go over it, and you can take the whole tree. And I want to take the whole tree with me. But you know what I'm saying? So the kids walk up and they spy it, and they're looking at it, and all the cupcakes are relatively similar. They're all made kind of the same, but then they pick that one. And they say, "This one is mine. This one's mine." It may look like the others. I'm reminded of the Marine Corps motto, the rifleman's motto. Is that, do you remember, Brother Matt, the one that says, this is my rifle. It looks like a lot of different ones, but this one's mine. You know what I mean? When you pull that brownie out of that pan, when you pull that piece of pie, because my kids, bless their hearts, when they were little, when they're chopping up the pizza, it's like they'll get a tape measure. They want the one that's the biggest piece, right? And they are redeeming it for themselves. They are saving, they're setting it apart, saying, this one's mine. So when you think of sanctification, when you think of salvation too, I want you to think not just pulling from the fire, but pulling and saying, this one's mine, this one's special, this one's separated from all the others unto me. And the Holy Spirit of the God is the one that does that. He sanctifies us. We call that positional sanctification. Now, at the moment we're born again, we're set apart. God indwells us. He seals us. But look at verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. That's talking about this physical body you and I reside in. Do you realize that this physical body is just a vessel? It's just a tent. It's temporary. It is not eternal. This is not a body that is suited for heaven. This is not a body that is built to walk on streets of gold. This body has to be changed. 1 Thessalonians or 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We shall all sleep, we shall all be changed. Why? Because this body is not suitable for heaven. Okay? So when you think about sanctification, God, yes, he sets us apart positionally, but he also wants us to have practical sanctification. That's the holiness. See, at positionally, when I'm set apart from sin to Christ, I am credited with all the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I am now positionally set apart unto God. But now that God has saved me, he wants to sanctify me in a practical way, in a daily holy life. Look at verse 4 again. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. The Holy Spirit has chosen you and I that believe, that have trusted Christ as our Savior. We have been chosen to live a life that is pleasing to God. A life that honors the sacrifice of Christ. Just as you and I drive by Arlington and see those beautiful headstones, every one of them a memorial to the sacrifice that was made for our freedom. And there's different headstones. Now, there's not just the white ones. When you drive in and through there, there's some that are very, very large that represent, general officers and men that have died and women that have died in combat. And if you ever go by a grave and it's got like a penny or a nickel or a dime or a quarter, you know, the quarter, I was told, now I may get this wrong, but a quarter means you were there when they died. Isn't that what that means? The person visiting that grave was there when that person gave the ultimate sacrifice. I got to tell you, God set us apart to live a life that honors his sacrifice. That is what sanctification means. See, so many people want to think of, well, separation and standards, and if you don't look like me and dress like me, well, then you're not just right with God. No, that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about living a life that honors the sacrifice of Christ. That's what we're talking about. And you and I do not have the capacity in and of ourselves to do it. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So as we study the Holy Spirit of God, the ultimate purpose, spoiler alert, is for you and I to learn how to live beyond our capacity, live beyond this fleshly means. That's why when Paul wrote the Galatians and said, look, you got saved by the Holy Spirit of God. Why are you trying to do the rest of it in the flesh? It's to be, live beyond the moderate or mediocre human life. And you think to yourself, well, if I was Jeff Bezos or if I was, Warren Buffett. No. They're living the mediocre Christian life. They're actually living below that if they're not saved. You know, God has something even greater planned for you and I than just a house and a white picket fence and a 401k and a car that's paid for. God has so much more for us. but it'll never come in the flesh. It'll only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like Arlington stirs our memories, the sacrifice of Christ should compel us in the same way, should compel us to live a life that honors Him. The Holy Spirit desires to do that inner work that is manifested outwardly. Last week I told you that the purpose and job of the Holy Spirit is for us, for Him to fully manifest salvation, not just inwardly, but outwardly through our life. The Holy Spirit decides to change us from the inside out. Never, 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 listen. Don't make changes in your life just because the preacher does it that way. Don't do things just because that's the way Miss Mix does it. Although she's got great stuff. When it comes to you as in your walk with Christ, let the Holy Spirit change you from the inside out, not the outside in. Because the inside out is a permanent change that will transcend your geographic location, the cultural location you are in the world. It'll transcend everything because it changes you. You know, we're going to see on Sunday during the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the Glorious Appearing series, when we get to Revelation 20, you're going to see that a perfect environment does not bring godliness. You've got the bookend of Genesis 3 in the garden and perfection. It did not bring godliness. And then Revelation 20, 1,000 years of righteous reign and like Eden, living in Eden again, won't bring godliness either. It's the Holy Spirit of God working from the inside out to set us apart. Now, when I think of setting apart, the temporary change is when we're like, ouch, that hurt. I need to stop doing that. So we separate like this, 90 degrees. Listen, the universe abhors a vacuum. If you take something out of your life, you've got to put something godly back in. And you should take the ungodly things out of your life, amen, because they hurt you. They were never meant for you to have, and they're outside the specifications from the original equipment manufacturer. And when you grab the tech manual, you're going to find there's a lot of things that are outside of spec you shouldn't play with. But the problem is, if we just turn halfway, that's all flesh. That's just me turning over a new leaf. Ow, that hurt. I'm going to stop that. Okay, but what are you going to put back? Because like a dog returning to its vomit, we will go back to it. It's an inside-out work. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Look what the Bible reads. It says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." God calls us to this holy life. Now, God loves us where He finds us, but He loves us too much to leave us the way He finds us. See, since we're no longer what we used to be, He doesn't want us to live the way we used to live. God didn't leave us it to figure out on our own either. Sometimes, I know that's how I feel sometimes. When I'm trying to do things in the flesh, I'm thinking, well, God has left, I got to figure this out on my own. And with COVID now, you try to call people, they're not even there to help you walk through it. Huh? And you're like, I got to figure this out on my own. God never meant for you to have to figure out the sanctified life that lives beyond the capacity of human capacity. He never left that for you to figure out on your own. He gave us the Holy Spirit to do it. So He enables us through what I call daily sanctification, that daily setting apart unto Him. Now take your Bible, go to Romans 8. And verse 29, the Holy Spirit continuously from the moment you and I are saved, He has a plan and He is working the plan. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. From the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, God's been working the plan inside of you. Now look at it, Romans 8, 29. For whom He did foreknow, that means He knew you'd trust Jesus as your Savior. That's foreknowledge. He also did predestinate. That all it means is He planned in advance. Look at that. What? To be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what God had in mind. Personal change literally is impossible on our own power. Our best efforts are failure and frustration, and we get stuck in the trap of self-effort, and we try to change our life in our own power. And people say to me, "Preacher, why can't I change?" Well, he said to Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4, he said, "Not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." So trying to change our life in our own power and our own strength is just, it's frustrating. Now, the Galatians had the same problem. Like he said in Galatians 3:3, you got saved by the Spirit. Why are you trying to do the rest by the Spirit? Take your Bible, go to Galatians 5, then verse 16, a very familiar portion of Scripture. I would invite you to memorize this verse of Scripture, Galatians 5 and verse 16. Look what it says in Galatians 5:16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." To walk in the Spirit is a walk in submission to the Spirit of God. And what began at salvation as a work of the Holy Spirit is something God wants to continue to do inside us. And the Christian life is too hard to live on our own. It is beyond our capacity. So, number one, how does he sanctify us? How does he separate us? How does he set us apart as that memorial for his sacrifice, as something he can use and be glorified in? He searches us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. One of the things the Holy Spirit does when setting us apart is he searches us. Now look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 and 11. "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good." I'm in Romans. No wonder that didn't read right. 1 Corinthians, that's good preaching though. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. Look what it says. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Who knows your heart better than you? The Spirit that's in man. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." The Holy Spirit searches things of God, and he reveals them to us. But you know, in Psalm 139, I preached on this a few weeks ago, the verses say, "Search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me." Oh, the Holy Spirit knows your heart better than you do. He knows your heart. He searches the deep things of our heart, and he knows us, and he reveals them to us. You know, you looked into a magnifying mirror? I mean, they're useful tools. They really can be. But, you know, the older I get, I don't even like looking in regular mirrors, let alone one that can show every little pore. You know, there are days I get up and I look in that mirror and I'm like, "You're not looking too good, buddy. You know, my face looks like the Washington, D.C. roadmap. It all starts here and all the lines go in every direction." Right? Talk about needing spackle and close that up. But you know what I mean? And you, much less, I don't want to look at that. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit of God searches us, and he's a mirror. He can see, he can show us our heart. He helps us on a spiritual level because we have a tendency to deceive ourselves. Remember what it says in Jeremiah, that the heart, our heart, my heart, your children's hearts, your grandbaby's hearts. I know your grandbabies are sweet. I've got a friend that's got a granddaughter. He says it's like Christmas all the time when you have a granddaughter. Is that right, Brother Jim? It's like Christmas all the time. And I don't know about that, but I can tell you right now, our hearts are deceitful. Even those little grandbabies. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately the wicked. Who can know it? We deceive ourselves. So the Holy Spirit of God will search our heart and he'll reveal it to us. Things that either A, we've deceived ourselves into thinking it's not there, or B, things we've tried to hide and shove under the rug. So the Holy Spirit of God searches us. Number two, he convicts us. Take your Bible, go to John. When he reveals something to us, that's called conviction. John 16 and verse 8. Now, there are two definitions to the word conviction. Number one, the word conviction means to prove or to reprove or to teach us, to bring to light and expose, to find fault. The other definition is I have a conviction about something. You know what I mean? And you, as a Christian, you need to have convictions. But I'm talking tonight about the Holy Spirit of God revealing to us something. Look at John 16 and verse 8. The Bible says in John 16 and verse 8, "And when he is come," that's the comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, "he will reprove," that's teach, correct, that's correct with a sense of and a suggestion of shame. "He will reprove the world of" what? Of sin, of our sin, of his righteousness, and how we fall short, and look at it, and of the judgment to come. Just as the Holy Spirit of God convicted you of your need of a Savior, He'll continually search us and bring to light the things that we have either not been willing to admit's there or have deceived ourselves into believing it's not there and have them dealt with. When we allow the Holy Spirit of God to work freely in our heart, He will prick our conscience. He'll prick us in the heart. He will. You'll feel it. I'm telling you, this was a noticeable change to me after salvation. One of the reasons my wife knew I was lost was because I just was never felt guilty about nothing. I never felt bad about nothing. Whether it's lying or cussing or stealing or whatever, it didn't matter. I didn't care. It was so me-centered. It's like I didn't have a conscience. But boy, after I got saved and the longer I've walked with God, I have this ever-increasing awareness of my personal sin. And I got to tell you, we deceive ourselves into thinking that we're cleaner and that's okay and that's better. My sons, I have four sons, and they have varying levels of clean when it comes to laundry. Do you have children like that at your house? Varying levels. And sometimes Ms. Mix and I have to have the unpleasant duty of having them to dredge up the things that are definitely dirty and get them washed. And some of that is baked in, and we just throw it away. I mean, it's just baked in. And maybe you've cleaned up your life to where the baked-in smell and stinky stuff's out of your life. But the other varying levels of associated clean and cleaner and cleanest, there's really just clean and not clean. And the Holy Spirit of God will bring that to our hearts. See, conviction is a privilege. It really is. It means that God is still working on you. It's also a gift. A conviction in your heart over sin, it's God's warning system. It's His early warning system that something's awry. Well, I think it's funny, when you drive a car that's got tons and tons of miles on it, you kind of ignore those engine lights, because, it's kind of like a baby. You've checked the oil, it's got water, it's got gas, it's got air, and it's still complaining, and you just kind of ignore it. You know what I'm saying? But if it's a brand new car and that engine light goes off, you stop. You're like, wait a minute, right? And it's like an early warning system. The Holy Spirit of God does that for us. It convicts us. But, the longer we walk with God, and we seem to not acknowledge the warning signs. We either respond to conviction or we reject it. We either surrender to the leading of the Spirit or we try to silence it. And the thing is, many times we'll harden our heart. See, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says that they have their conscience is seared with a hot iron. They've been walking. It'll happen to Christians. We think it's just the reprobates who march downtown D.C. But the truth is, we end up as Christians living with a comfortable level of sin in our life, and we kind of get desensitized to it. It's created a scar, and we just kind of ignore it. I have a couple of scars where I petted a table saw. Never do that. Never pet a table saw. And those parts of my fingers are just numb all the time. There's no feeling right on that scar. Why? Because it's been not seared, but it's been scarred. Searing is a scarring process, and our heart can be like that. We get comfortable with a certain level of iniquity, a certain level of sin. That's not that bad. We mute the Holy Spirit of God. But see, every time we respond properly to conviction, we're inviting the Holy Spirit of God to continue to transform us, to continue to mold us and shape us to the image of God. We cannot allow ourselves to get to a place where we stop feeling that conviction. See, the process is to move us from the cross to the crown that we saw in Revelation. It's moving us down this path, making us, because let's face it, this body's not going to heaven. So what is going to heaven? That which you become in Jesus Christ is going to heaven. Who you become in Jesus is the what's going there. Now, the Holy Spirit will search us. He'll convict us. But number three, He'll teach us. Go to John 14. Jesus was preparing His disciples for His departure, for His crucifixion, His resurrection, His burial, His ascension, and really to continue without Him. That's what they were doing. And Jesus is telling them, listen, when I depart, the Comforter will come. Look at John 16, excuse me, I say John 14, yeah, jump to John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. That means it's good for you. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And I always think to myself, how would that be better? How is it better that Jesus went to heaven? Well, while Jesus is on the earth, he had limited himself to be in one place at one time. When the Comforter came and filled everyone's hearts like he does at salvation, he's with all of us all the time, everywhere. In John 14, 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said of you. In John 16, 13, it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He may not just give you all of it all at once, but he'll guide you to that truth, for he shall not speak of himself. In 1 John 2, 27, but the anointing which we have received of him, that's the Holy Spirit of God, abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. It's his responsibility to help us understand the word. You got to understand, since he's searching our heart, he knows how to take the Holy Spirit of God and apply it to our hearts. I think it's funny. I'll be preaching away, and I'll see somebody go. I call that the shovel principle. Right? That doesn't apply to me, so I'll shovel it to the people behind me. You know what I mean? Or somebody will be like, you used to see folks' faces when I get to preaching, and they'll be like, and they'll think my wife probably talked to him. My wife probably said something to him, and he's preaching on that because. No, that wasn't me. My preacher always said that when you see a pack of dogs and you throw a rock, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. And so you're the one going, no, is he reading my mail? Did he check out my IM? No, that's the Holy Spirit of God. You don't understand. I don't know how to apply the Bible to your heart like the Holy Spirit knows how to apply the Bible to your heart. That's one of the reasons why he searches you and then he guides you and teaches you toward the truth so that the two can connect. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we either accept it and surrender to it, or we reject it and try to silence it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's our teacher. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that does the searching and the convicting. And he seeks. Now, listen, the Holy Spirit so much more personally can speak to you on the inside than I ever can on the outside. He really knows the truth. You know, that's beyond my capacity to do that. So the Holy Spirit, who goes beyond our human capacity, does it for us. That's the ministry. He teaches us. Every time we read the Bible, every time you hear a sermon preached, every time you go to a Sunday school class, every time you go to a Bible study, every time you catch a devotional off your phone, or God, the Holy Spirit, will speak to you. So not only does he teach and guide, he also reminds us. Look at John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He is our heavenly reminder. Are you like me? I have a calendar app on my phone. And if it's not in there, it doesn't happen. When somebody will walk up and say, I want to get with you this week, first thing I pull out my phone. It's not because I'm bored and I don't want to talk to you. It's because if I don't put it in my phone, I'll forget. I get some timer's disease. I'll go in a room and I don't remember. I just can't remember where, or is it the hereafter? I go into a room and I don't know why I'm here after. What am I here after? And so I have to put it in my phone. God, the Holy Spirit, is our eternal reminder system. He's that app in our heart that reminds us of things. He'll bring it to memory probably at the most inconvenient time. But he prompts us. That's why we try to memorize Scripture. That's why we try to meditate on it, is so the Holy Spirit of God can bring it up and use it when we need it. You think to yourself, well, this verse, it jumped out at me today as I was reading, but you know, it really doesn't apply to me today. Yeah, but it will. God, the Holy Spirit knows what's coming. He knows you need it later. He knows you're going to be in front of that coworker that's difficult. Do you have difficult people at your work? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? And I've been there. I've had difficult folks of mine. And the Holy Spirit knows you're going to be there and you're going to need patience and long-suffering and so he'll remind you of it. Now, when you're witnessing, He'll bring verses to mind. When you got to make tough decisions, he'll remind you of Bible principles. When you need wisdom and insight, he'll remind you of biblical truths to guide your step. And when we need to obey, and the truth is we need to obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. He impulses us all the time. And it's easier said than done. And every day the Holy Spirit will remind us of little right things. You know, when you have little children, you don't expect a ton out of them like you would a teenager. But how do you get them to be a responsible teenager? You start when they're little and you get them to learn little right things. And you train them in the little right things. Brush your teeth, put your shoes away, things of that nature. And the Holy Spirit of God will do the same thing to you. He will remind you of little right things. I can't tell you the number of times that I blow it off. I'll be walking through and he'll say, "You ought to grab that." And I'll think, I got my hands full. And later that day, Ms. Mix will go, "Where's I need such and so?" And I'll be like, "I saw that. Where did I see that? And you start retracing your steps. Now, if you just pick the dumb thing up and put it away when the Holy Spirit touched you, you could immediately go find it. Ms. Mix, I pick on her all the time. She'll say, where's my high heels? And I say, "Well, you know, the last time I wore them, I left them over by the door." You know, just to be fun. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit does that all the time. You get these little impulses. You ought to pick that up. You ought to put that away. Grab that. Put it back, pick it up, whatever. Holy Spirit will nudge you. Why? Because they're little right things, and he's trying to train us so we're ready to follow the impulse of the big right things when they come up. See? But you and I blow it off. We think, "I don't need to do that. I'll take care of that later." I can't tell you how many times Holy Spirit tells me, "Put that thing away." I'll be walking by and I'll see a tool out, or I'll see a hammer, or I'll see the broom, or I'll see the dustpan out, and the Holy Spirit's like, "You ought to put that away." And then later that day, I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off because I can't remember where I saw it, and I need it. Now, if I'd adjust, obey. Now, I know that's a silly illustration, but our lives are a bunch of little illustrations rolled up in one big moment, and we've not learned to obey the impulse of the Holy Spirit. See, to lost folks, to the unregenerate, they watch your life and they think, they have no concept of the Holy Spirit, so they think you're just lucky. They think you're lucky. You married lucky, you picked a career, you were lucky in your career, you were lucky in your finances, and they think somehow by blind luck you've done that. Or that you seem to be risk averse. That's a government word. It means you don't like to do things that are scary or dangerous. No, the Holy Spirit's not a good luck charm. He's not a mystical power. The Holy Spirit turns the light on for us. He guides us. He teaches us. And he tries to enlighten us. Do you know you have a blind spot? Each one of us has blind spots in our life. Areas of our life that we don't see things clearly. And many times the way we look at ourselves or we look at our children, we've all had times where we didn't know what it is we didn't know. And we didn't know what we desperately needed to know. And God has several ways he addresses those limitations. Number one, it's reading the Word of God. Number two, it's godly counsel. Sometimes you don't know what it is you don't know. You know, I'm not a lawyer, but I'll give you whatever godly. I know what not to do. I've made so many mistakes. I'm not a great money manager. We got some really great folks in this church who give you godly counsel on finances and on relationship, and get godly counsel. Number three, interactive prayer. You praying and asking the Holy Spirit questions and pausing and getting an answer. That's part of our discipleship program. If you've never gone through our Bible study that Ms. Mix and I do at your house or for Sunday school or something, it all culminates in an interactive walk with God. But there are places in our life that we're blind. We have blind spots. And only the Holy Spirit of God will be the one who'll bring those up. Well, because the people in our life have learned, they've gotten their hands slapped or bit a few times, trying to bring up a blind spot in our life. And we've smacked them pretty hard. We've barked at them or bit them with our words and with our attitudes and with our body language we've been ugly. So they've learned to just ignore those blind spots in our life. maybe compensate for us. But it's the Holy Spirit of God who can actually bring it up and enlighten us to the fact that we're not viewing this thing correctly. What a companion. He also produces growth. Take your Bible, go to Galatians again, chapter 5, a familiar portion of Scripture. When he sanctifies us, part of the ministry of sanctification is teaching and guiding and searching and enlightening, but it's also producing growth. Look at Galatians 5, a familiar portion, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, that means the natural outgrowth as we surrender to the Holy Spirit of God, is love rather than hate, joy rather than just happiness, peace rather than anxiety, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are things, and we're going to discuss these later in more detail, but part of the Holy Spirit's sanctifying ministry is to produce that spiritual fruit in our life. And this is where the personal life-changing ministry of the Holy Spirit of God becomes visibly evident. Our salvation becomes visibly evident. The sacrifice of Christ is memorialized and visibly evident to everyone around us as the Holy Spirit of God produces fruit in our life. People say something's different about you. What happened to you? You've changed. The Holy Spirit of God is trying to cultivate that. Then the Holy Spirit of God will produce holiness. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 10 and 11. Look at what the Bible reads there. It says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And, don't skip that, by the Spirit of our God. A lot of Christians don't care about holiness. I mean, the very word is just not in our daily vernacular. And the lost world will mistake holiness for arrogance and pride, and we get vilified. And some Christians will mistake it for, you know, some charismatic sensationalism. But it's a practical concept of us embracing God and His transforming us. That's what holiness is. It's just simple purity from sin. It's a defining attribute of God, and it's the ultimate goal He has for you and I, is to mold us and shape us, yes, to holiness. Because God didn't just want to save us from the penalty of sin. He wanted to save us from the power of sin, and that's daily. One day He'll take us home and we'll be saved from the presence of sin. Our sanctification will be complete. Our salvation will be complete when we're removed from the power, the presence, penalty, and the very presence of sin. This is the pinnacle work of the Holy Spirit of God in sanctification. The result of the work of the Holy Spirit is that not only we will be aware of sin, we'll actually deal with sin, and we will learn to live to avoid it by surrendering to Him. This doesn't mean you'll never sin. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Look what the Bible reads in Ephesians 5. And verse 8, the Bible reads, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19, we talk about Him, our body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. So practically speaking, it's the Holy Spirit trying to create a holy lifestyle in and through us. That's what He's trying to do. He wants us to be a steward of our life that way. This is the work of sanctification. It's a lifelong work. Remember Philippians 1:6, he that begun a good work in you will be faithful to perform it unto the day, continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I got to tell you, it's frustrating at times because Philippians 1:6 tells us that the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is happening whether we feel like it or not. Like I said, sometimes His conviction comes at the most inconvenient times in our life. Our flesh will tempt us to lose sight of the Holy Spirit. Our flesh will tempt us to forget it. But like Arlington, Luxembourg has a huge 50-acre cemetery. Your heart is hallowed ground. And the salvation that has began in our heart, the sanctifying ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to be a life lived in honor of that sacrifice. I don't know about you, but sometimes we fall into a trap. We forget that we're special. We forget that God's trying to work through us. That God wants to do something more than we've seen so far. Sometimes we just can't see beyond it. Sometimes we just can't think. We think we've hit it. We've got that place in our life, and there's not. We're doing. It's not about more busyness. And you're busy people. You are. You have schedules to keep and deadlines to beat, and I've been in that. I understand. But it's not about more busyness. It's about more becoming. And it only happens in and through the Holy Spirit. And it only happens, He's only able to accomplish it, if we surrender and obey His impulse. Don't shun the conviction of the Spirit. See it as a privilege. God's got something better for me than this. Let me confess it, repent, and forsake it. Let God teach you. If you have questions, you're welcome to ask me. But be open to the Holy Spirit's teaching, His leading. And when the blind spot is brought up, don't mute the Holy Spirit. There's something better for you than what you're trying to hide. There was a little boy, and mom and a little boy at a preaching where D.L. Moody was preaching. And D.L. Moody was a fiery, just an awesome preacher. And the mama waited in line, the reception line, to meet D.L. Moody. And she had the little boy with her. And he was a fidgety little kid. And she said, the preacher goes, "Hi, my name's D.L. What's your name?" And the boy just went, "Mm-mm," like this. And the mom's embarrassed. She said, "Shake the hand of the man of God. Shake the hand of the man of God." And he's like, "I don't want to." And she kind of puts the pinch on his arm like we all do. And he takes his hand and puts this hand in this hand and puts out the left hand. The preacher's like, "No, shake with the right hand, son, like a man." And he's like, "Ugh." And he puts what he had in his right hand, his left hand. And he goes like this. And the preacher grabs his hand, pulls him close, and pries open his fingers, and they're dirty little marble. And the kid wouldn't shake the hand of the man of God because he was too busy holding on to some dirty little marble. And that is our life. When we are resistant to the Holy Spirit, we got some dirty little thing that we think is so precious, we're willing to fight over. We're willing to argue with the Holy Spirit of God. We're willing to resist Him and Him having it all, because we've lost sight that there's something beyond us, something better, something beyond that you and I have yet to experience. I don't care if you've walked with God for 2 minutes or 20 years or 40 years. There's something bigger and more awesome beyond where you've been. And the Holy Spirit wants to take you there. And He wants to do it inside you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It all comes as a part of His sanctifying ministry. That setting us apart, taking us away and pulling us close as something special, hallowed, precious to Him. Our lives are to be that memorial of the sacrifice. Our Heavenly Father, we love You and we are thankful, God, just thankful that You never leave us and forsake us. Thankful, Jesus, that You went back to heaven to intercede for us. It is expedient that You go away, not only because the Holy Spirit comes and is with all of us at every moment, but that You're at the right hand of God interceding for us every moment of every day, all the time. And that is expedient. Thank You. And Father, we ask that, God, that You'd speak to every heart and every soul. Holy Spirit, You know what's on the mind and the heart of the Father for each one of us, but You also know what's in each one of our hearts that needs to be brought to light. We give You permission to do that tonight. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Thank You. Thank You for lovingly guiding us to truth. And we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. As Ms. Mix begins to play and sing, the altar is open. The altar is open. During the message time, maybe the Holy Spirit of God brought something up. Don't. Cast it aside. Deal with it. Deal with it. You and Him. Work through it. Confess. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we confess them. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's doing a work. He's doing a work. Let's trust Him.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Our Father and our God, we love You. And Father, we're thankful for the work You're doing and the way You love us and the way You take care of us. So we ask God tonight that You would continue to do that work throughout the days that are ahead of us. Father, we give You permission. Please speak. It's time for Thee, O God, to work. And Father, as we go from this place, let us be mindful to pray one for another. Pray for Brother Allen and the Benchmark Revival. God, do a work there that only You can be credited for. And Father, we are looking to You to do something incredible because we believe Your word is true. And sometimes we lose sight of what's beyond our capacity. But Father, we know Your promises are sure. And so tonight, we look to You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. Continue to pray.